Okay, so Parshat Dvarim, this week we have the privilege of beginning the fifth and final book of the Torah. And the fifth and final book of the Torah, we know, is categorically different than the first four. Four books of the Torah are exclusively dictated by Hashem. They are God's divine word, specifically, explicitly. The fifth book, and this is complicated, it's not our subject for today, but it's a fascinating one to research further on your own, is the nature of Deuteronomy, of Dvarim, of the fifth book of the Torah. On the one hand, we feel it's divinely given. It's still Dvar Hashem. Of course, we believe the totality of Chamishei Chumshei Torah, all of Torah, Shebechsav, the written Torah, is directly from God. On the other hand, Dvarim is composed almost entirely of Moshe's soliloquy. We are now in the final days of Moshe's life. We are in the final days. You know, we're going to read Sefer Dvarim for the next few months. So we have this impression like it lasts. You know, we read Sefer Dvarim for as long as we read Bereishis, Shmos, Vayikra, Bamidbar. But the truth is, you know, for example, Bamidbar is over 40 years. Dvarim is over a few days, a few hours. It's Moshe's soliloquy. It's Moshe's speech to the Jewish people. His swan song. Yeah. They're about to enter the land, and he wants them to extract the lessons that they've learned through their very short Jewish history until that point, but to guarantee their success in going forward. And that's why he turns to them, as the Mefarshim say in the beginning of the parsha, he learned from Yaakov Avinu that at the end of your life, you bestow bracha, blessings onto your children, and you charge them, you give a tzava, you give an ethical will of your hopes and your dreams and your aspirations for where they will go. And that is what Moshe does collectively for the Jewish people. And there's much to learn from the style and manner in which he does it. Because Moshe brilliantly is able to construct his criticism in a very nuanced way, rather than embarrass or humiliate them or to explicitly address it. He's able to couch it in terms that they understand what he's talking about, and yet it's not humiliating to them. There's a lot to learn from Moshe's address, and there's a lot of written on the style of the soliloquy, the style of Moshe's speech, and so on. But one of the most fascinating things I find about Sefer Dvarim and reviewing Moshe's lecture, Moshe's speech. You know, Moshe was the first, I forgot the name of the professor a number of years ago, who gave that the final lecture, the last lecture.
Oh, yeah.
So it was called, and it was turned into a book. Apparently there's a practice in universities where a professor will give a lecture as if it was their last, what would they say? And this was a professor who had cancer, he was dying, and it literally was his last lecture, and he gave the most important values. If you want, Google, there's an amazing YouTube video of him doing it. If you Google or go to YouTube, the last lecture, it was his last lecture. So La'avdil, this is Moshe's last lecture. He has spent his life leading the Jewish people. This is his last lecture. Here are the lessons we've learned. Here are the most important things. And here's what I want to leave you with. So when you see Moshe, of course, addresses all of the major events of Jewish history until that point. And what's fascinating to do is to compare and juxtapose the way the Torah records the historical event earlier in the book and the way Moshe recalls the book now in his soliloquy. So we're going to start with Perek Aleph Pasuk Chaf Beis, which really is known as Shlishi, the Aliyah of Shlishi. Which is the middle of a subject. Right? We've spoken about at length that the tradition of the halachic way, the proper Torah way to break up the passages, is based on the Psuchos and the Stumos, where the break is in the text. The notion of these chapters was introduced by non-Jews, was actually introduced by the Christians when they were holding public debates with the Jewish people, which weren't really dialogues or debates, they were more monologues on their side. But in order to reference the verses in the Bible so that they could use it to their advantage or to support their assertions of Jesus and Christianity in these disputations, they assigned numerical numbers to the chapters. They're not Jewish, the chapters. So the way we break up the themes of the Torah is really the Psuchos and Stumos is really where you see the gap in the text, which Art Scroll Stone Chumash does a good job of preserving. Even here, if you turn pages, you'll see a gap in the text. That's where the Torah sees a break in the theme. So this is really in the middle of a theme, but it begins Moshe's recalling the episode of the spies. Pasuk Chaf Beis. Everyone see where we are? It's on the Stone Chumash, page 944, on the fourth line. V'tikrvun elai kulchem v'tomru nishlecha anashim lefaneinu v'yachperu lanu es ha'aretz v'yashivu osanu davar es ha'derech asher na'aleh ba v'eis ha'arim asher navo alehem. Moshe turns to the people and he says, if you recall, you approached me. All of you, kulchem, collectively you approached me, v'tomru, and you said, let's send men before us. what happened right beforehand, Moshe recalled that God said, He promised you the land, and Re'eh, look, I'm going to give you the land. And then Moshe begins, Vatikrivun Eli. You approached me when God promised the land. You approached me and said, you know what? Before we make Aliyah, before we move to Israel, why don't we send a recognizance mission? Why don't we send some spies to investigate the land? And what was their purpose? V'yachperu lanu es ha'aretz. V'yashivu osanu davar. They will bring us back. What's davar? Word. They'll bring us back word. Es haderech asher na'aleba v'es ha'arim asher navo aleihem. What will their purpose be? What is the goal of their investigation? What will they come and report on? Hadera, not a trick question. The path that we should ascend. In other words, where are the military positions? Where is their stronghold? Where should we attack? How do we enter the land? How can we conquer it? Ve'isarim asher navo aleihem, and the cities that we should seek to conquer. That is the object, that's the goal of the mission. Vayitav ve'ne hadavar. And Moshe says, you know, I like that idea. That idea worked for me. And so I designated from among you 12 men, one per tribe. Okay, before we continue. So tell me already, what strikes you about the way Moshe recalls the story? Anything different than the way that it's recorded in Parsha Shlach? Any interesting facts in the way Moshe recalls this story? Anything stand out? Right. Okay. Great. But even more fundamental than that, if you have the Stone Chumash, turn back to page 798, beginning of Parsha Shlach, and let's remember together. How did this story of the spies go down exactly? Because I don't remember it going down exactly the way Moshe describes. Right. To summarize, what did Moshe say? God said, "Time to go conquer the land of Israel. I'm giving it to you on a silver platter. Here's a gift." And Moshe said, "You all approached me and you said, you know what? Before we go, we have an idea. Why don't we send spies to investigate? And they'll come back and tell us, what, instead of going in blindly, they'll come back and tell us where's the best place to attack." And then Moshe said, "Vayitav be'nei adavar." I like that idea. And therefore, I follow through. Now go back to Shlach, 798. How does the Torah tell us when the episode actually occurred? Vayidaber Hashem Moshe lemor, God told Moshe, "Shlach lecha anashim, send men, ish echad l'matei avazot tishlechu, kol nasi bahem." God says, I want you to send one per tribe, the prince of the tribe. And Vaishlach osam Moshe, so Moshe sent them. It's two different stories. The way the Torah records it when it happened, it was God's idea, and God told Moshe to choose the men. And who were the men? The Nasiim. Did the people initiate this project? No. Not in Shlach, doesn't mention it. Here Moshe's recalling the story, and he says, you guys came to me, and I liked the idea. So I said, you know what? Let me go choose a person per tribe. What's going on here? Very different. Very different, right? So let's see some of the Mefarshim. And by the way, the same exercise that we're going through right now, in a narrow sense with the story of the spies, you can go through with all Sefer Dvarim. Every time Moshe recounts a historical event, turn back earlier and say, okay, giving of the Torah. Here's how it was recorded in Yisro. Let's look how Moshe remembers it in Ves Chanan. Is it consistent? What are the differences? Moshe, we know, if anything we know, Moshe emes v'toraso emes. Moshe is a person of truth. His seal is integrity, truth. He has a tremendous fidelity, loyalty to truth. Moshe doesn't distort or manipulate the truth, history. He wasn't intentionally. So what? Why would he remember differently, or why would he record or portray things differently? What was his goal in doing so? So start with Rashi, Chaf Beis. V'tikrivun elai kochem. So, Rashi says, "Birbuvia, you came up to me, a big mix." Also, "Kreva haisa hogenes, yiladim mechabdim eskenim ushlachum lefnehem, uzkenim mechadim esarashim laleches lefnehem, avatakan vatekrevun elai kochem birbuvia, yiladim dochfim eskenim uzkenim dochfim esarashim." Why does it use the term kulchem? You came up. All together, you all came up to me, kulchem, together. So Rashi says, birbuvia, you were a mob. You had a mob mentality. You approached me as if some mob demanding that this is what we do. That's how Rashi depicts the imagery of what happened. Right, the Sforno also addresses this, Rabbi Avadya Sforno. Batikravune elai kochem, afa pisha hayu lachem rashim munim aleichem, l'tzarche rabim, basem kochem. You know, Moshe was trying to rebuke them a little bit. He said, you had assigned leadership, and the leadership should have approached me. There is, you know, a means of
hierarchy.
There's a hierarchy, there's a chain of command, and you broke the chain of command. If you wanted to go to the prince of your tribe and say, you know, we've got this idea, and then the princes of the tribes would get together and appoint someone to go meet with Moshe and say, we've got this idea, that would be the proper way to do it. But that's not what you did. Kulchem. You came with a mob mentality, and a mob mentality is never good. A mob mentality is something which is unhealthy. Good. Continuing, the Balaturim notes that Moshe says that he told them. Where is this? Pasuk Chavet. Batikravun elai kulchem. I'm sorry, that's back in Pasuk. Yeah, not the Balaturim there. I'm sorry. The next Rashi. Look at the Rashi. V'yashivu osanu davar. Now Rashi here makes a fascinating comment. What was the purpose of the mission? What were they seeking to investigate? Be'eza lashon heim medabrim. Be'eza lashon heim medabrim. They were going to investigate what language the people there spoke. Now that's peculiar for two reasons. Number one, it's peculiar because the Pasuk itself tells us what they were going to investigate. They were going to investigate where the military positions were, what was the best path to conquer, what were the cities they should conquer first. And it's peculiar secondly because who cares what language they spoke?
Well, yeah, but they had to know what they were saying in order to find out the military, some of the military.
Oh, okay, so maybe one understanding is
but they knew something.
Okay, look at the Sifsei Chachamim. Sifsei Chachamim says Dim lo kein davar lamali. First of all, where did Rashi get that from? Sifsei Chachamim. Right? Rashi was always bothered by a question. We spent time on this before. Every time you see Rashi make a comment, there was something that bothered him that generated that comment. So what bothered Rashi? That when the Pasuk says, V'yashivu osanu davar, they'll bring back davar. What does davar mean? How does Arutz Girl translate it?
It's a report.
Let us send men that despise the land and bring word back to us. V'yashivu osanu davar. What does that mean, bring word back? It's very ambiguous, davar. So that's what bothered Rashi to understand. Via Shivu Osanu Davar, Davar means Dibur. They'll bring back which Dibur, what language they're speaking. That's what we need to know. V'nafkamina b'zeh, says the Sifchei Chachamim, b'ez aloshen medabrim, who cares what language they're talking? K'dei she'yargishu b'davar imechad mishevah umos yeshna levusha b'levush shar umos she'yakiru oso k'dei she'yikaimu halav d'lo tzichya kol neshama v'zeh yefshar alak she'yedu l'shonam yedu me'ez umahem. Says you have to know what you're dealing with, because there are seven Canaanite nations that we're obligated to wipe out when we get into the land, and in order to distinguish those nations from other nations, and I would add furthermore what George said, if you want to be able to penetrate their military positions, you need to understand, you know, part of spying is being able to eavesdrop and listen to their language. That's the Sifsei Chachamim's explanation. The Maharal, in his Gur Aryeh commentary on this Rashi, has a fantastic interpretation. Maharal is a fantastic interpretation. He says, you know, this wasn't simply a physical conquest. This wasn't limited to being a material pursuit. We've got to conquer the land. There were spiritual promises. God said you're going to conquer in a metaphysical, in a spiritual and miraculous fashion. If you want to know your enemy, don't limit yourself to understanding their physical position. If you want to know your enemy, you need to know how spiritually strong they are. And if you want to know the essence of somebody, you need to see how they talk and what they talk about. And that tells you everything about the person. That tells you everything about the person. So the Maharal explains that Rashi, V'yashivu osanu davar, their mission was to come back and tell us what language are they speaking and what are they talking about. Because if we want to know who they are, their character, their integrity, their personality, then we need to know what they talk about. If you want to know somebody's greatness, then you don't look at their actions, you look at what they talk about. And that will describe a lot to you. What is it? There's a famous quote that, what is it? Great people talk about ideas. Average people talk about things. Small people talk about people. Right? I think that's the quote. Great people talk about ideas. Average people talk about things. Small people talk about people. And that's what their mission was. Go to the land. See what they talk about. Are they great people? Are they talking about ideas? Are they average people? Are they talking about things? Are they small people? Are they talking about people? And by doing that, we'll know everything about them, and then we'll be better positioned in order to conquer them. So Moshe recalls this, and he says, "Vayitav beinai adavar." I like that idea. So Rashi says, "Beinai velo beinai hamakom." It was good in my eyes, but not in God's eyes. Vim beinai Moshe hayatov lama amra betochachos. Now, George, you asked a question. Rashi asks a different one. Isn't it hypocritical? If Moshe says, and he even is willing to admit, I thought it was a good idea, then who is he now to come and give Musar? Who is he now to come and rebuke them? What was the matter with you? How could you spend 10 spies? How could you challenge God? Mashal, says Rashi, is a parable. A person says to his friend, sell me your donkey. Amalohain, he says, yes. Nosno atali l'nisayon, amalohain. Barimu vigvaos, amalohain. So he gives a metaphor of a person selling who the buyer keeps asking them all these questions, and with each question the seller says, no problem, no problem, no problem. And he says to the seller afterwards, I was hoping that by my saying no problem, you'd realize that I was confident in my product and that would be good enough. So Moshe says, Afani hodisi ledivrechem. I told you I think it's a good idea, not because I thought it was a good idea, but because I thought if you heard me think it was a good idea, that would be good enough for you not to really need to be carried out. If you saw me not getting in the way, in other words, why were the people challenging, we need spies? Because we don't really trust your word. We don't trust you. It's not good enough, your promise. We need to see for ourselves. So Moshe says, okay, fine, no problem. See for yourself. It's like, that's the mashal. If I'm selling you a product, and you say, you know what, you described it as such and such, I don't trust you. I want to see it. Can I take it for a test drive? Absolutely. Here are the keys. Then maybe I'll say to me, that's good enough, I'm ready to buy it. Because the very fact that you were willing to let me see it means that you weren't bluffing me, you really believe what you just told me. So that's what Moshe said. My strategy was, by telling you I think it's a good idea, it's not because I thought it was a good idea or I wanted to see it happen. My strategy was, you would drop it and say, if Moshe's willing to let us see it, then he really must believe that it's okay and we're going to conquer it, that's good enough. But lo chazartem bachem. But you didn't back off. You didn't drop the idea, even though that was my hope. Yes?
Reconcile that with the comment in the
shaft
that was God's idea.
Yeah, that's what I was going to
ask. Yeah, all right. I mean, Rashi says it wasn't God's idea.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole thing runs counter to what
they really want. Yeah, exactly.
Rabbi.
Yeah.
First, I think that, and I don't know where it says in the Mavoshim, but I was talking to Chayalea that perhaps this kind of rowdy group came.
Right.
And then Hashem said, look, if they want it, let them have it.
Right.
Now, I don't know if that's true. Number two, why is he saying, all of you approach me when everyone's dead? Everyone died of that generation. Except maybe a few before Tisha B'Av, I don't know how that
is. Oh, so how could he use the term kulchem?
Yeah. Why is he accusing this new generation that's excited about going in,
right,
and look what you did? And they didn't do anything.
They didn't, yeah.
Uh-huh.
That's good, actually.
So if you look, actually, Rashi earlier in Parshas Shlach clarifies this a little bit more. And Rashi there says, Shlach lecha leda'ascha. Ani eini mitzava lecha im tirtzeh shlach. When God originally said to Moshe, Shlach lecha and Hashem, what he meant was, look, if they're harassing you to send, I give you my permission.
Because it says, if you please, and he doesn't usually say that.
Oh, so I'm not commanding you to send, I'm giving you permission to send. And that's what Rashi quotes early. Fishabo Yisrael v'amr nishlecha anashim lefaneinu. So you're right. When you read Parsha Shlach, Iker Chasar min haSefer, the real storyline is incomplete, and only now when Moshe recalls it is he filling in.
So
which leaves you the real question in Parsha Shlach, maybe we'll talk about next year in Bamidbar. If that's the accurate historical event, then our question is not in Dvarim, our question is in Shlach. Why, when God records the Torah, does he give the impression, Shlach Lecha Anashim, as if he gave the command? Really, he was giving permission, he wasn't giving a command. Why does God allow the episode to seem distorted in our mind? So the accurate way it happened was that the people said, we want to send. Moshe went to God, and God said, you have my permission if you're okay with it. Vayitav beinar davar meant that Moshe said, fine, I'll tell them I'm okay with it, with the hope that they'll then say, forget it, and drop the issue. They didn't drop the issue, and we're still suffering the result until today. So that's the real chronology of what happened. If you look, it's interesting also, when Moshe recalls this, in Chav Gimel, Vayitav beinay adavar, Moshe says, I was okay with it. V'akach mikem shnei masar anashim, ish echad lashavet. And I took 12 men, one per tribe. What is he leaving out?
Princes.
Yeah.
Leaders.
It's pretty denigrating. Yeah. He doesn't mention who they were. He makes it sound like stam, they were 12 yuckles from the, from each tribe. Look at the Ramban. Nachmanides, V'akach mikem shnei masar anashim, lo shevach osam benesiusam, Moshe intentionally omitted their status because once they had failed to realize their status, they were undeserving of it. So Moshe refused to refer to them by their status because they had essentially abrogated, they had essentially relinquished it. When they behaved the way they had, not as leaders, but as cowards, as followers, when they came back, they essentially had failed their mission, and with it, Moshe dropped the honor that had formerly been due to them. So interestingly, Moshe leaves that out as well. Okay? So we saw what was the purpose of the mission, V'yashivu asanu davar, learn the language, and check out where their military operations are, so that we can attack. Pasuk Chav Dalet. V'yifnu v'yalu ha'hara v'yavu ad nachal ashkol v'yiraglu osa. And then you turned and you ascended the mountain, you got to Nachal Eshkol, Vayiraglu Osa. What is Vayiraglu? You investigated. Vayiraglu. Now, look at the Or HaChaim. Here is already where it began to go wrong. Because what was their purpose? V'yachperu lanu asaretz. When Moshe recalls that he says, Nishlacha anashim lefaneinu, V'yachperu lanu asaretz. When the people approached, they said, why are they sending? To be v'yach peru. We'll have to translate that in a moment.
Yes.
But what indeed happened in the end? Vayiraglu. What's the difference between v'yach peru and vayiraglu?
V'yach peru is where they buried their money.
Oh. Good. So look at the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. Rav Chaim Ben Attar. Says the Or HaChaim v'yiraglu osa, perish lo k'moshe amri Yisrael l'moshe v'yach peru lanu, ela raglu osa. They didn't fulfill their word. They said their reason they were going was to be Vayach Peru, but look, they were Vayiraglu. What does that mean? Says the Arachaim Ladas. Mahi Uma Anasheha Velobiksh Ladas Chafirus Hamatmonios. They claimed they wanted to Vayach Peru. Lechpor means to dig. What were they digging for? The nations there had hidden their money. They had buried their money in wells. And they claimed, we're going in order to uncover, in order to reveal, in order to unbury. But when they went, they didn't indeed go for that purpose. They went in order to spy. Why do you spy? Because you don't trust God. Because they lacked faith. They lacked trust. And that's where it all began to turn. So interesting, I don't think in Shlach... I don't think they use V'yach Peru there. So it's again another interesting distinction. Moshe recalls it that they said V'yach Peru, but in Shlach already it's V'yasuru, Lasur Asa'aretz. So you got three verbs here. V'yach Peru, Lasur, V'yiraglu. They said they wanted to be V'yach Peru. Their assignment was V'yasuru. And in the end what they did do was V'yiraglu.
So, Vayach Peru as a concept is totally inconsistent with Yeshiva Son of Davar. Yakru means something that's hidden.
Right.
Dover is something that's very visible and very, I mean, audiologically.
Right.
You hear it.
Right.
So, I mean, he's like playing two different.
Yeah, except that these were two separate, they were parallel missions.
Yeah.
To go accomplish both. In fact, maybe what the people want is to find the money, and what Moshe said, here's what you should do while you're there, is learn the language, is figure out what they're saying. Maybe they had different interests. So interestingly, in Shlach we see V'yasuru, which is what Moshe assigned them. However, when they first had approached him, what they claimed they want was V'yachperu, but ultimately anyway, what they did was V'yiraglu. And that was what was wrong, because V'yiraglu obviously has a negative connotation. L'ragel is to spy, to investigate. But really, what their purpose was is they didn't trust Hashem. They didn't have faith that it was going to go smoothly. They didn't have faith.
It also seems like three different levels. The Yasiru seems to be more like a tourist. You're just looking around.
Right.
By Raglu, you're looking for the Yakru, you're really getting down to the bottom.
You're digging. Yeah. But it's also a question of not only the methodology of how you're investigating, but what you're looking for. The Yakru, you're looking for money. The Yasiru, you get in the lay of the land. But your aglu is now you don't trust. And you came back with this fruit, you brought it towards us, and you came back, you fulfilled v'yashivu osanu davar, you brought back that davar, and you said, the land is a good land that God's giving us. V'lo avisam la'alos, Vatamru es pi Hashem Elokechem, vateiragnu bi ahalechem, vatamru b'sinas Hashem osana hotzianu me'eretz Mitzrayim, laseis osana biyad ha'emori lahashmidenu. Now, interestingly, Moshe credits them with at least acknowledging that it's a good land, that God is giving a good land. But you know what? Even though when you first came back and you acknowledged the fruit, you said it's a good land, you didn't want to ascend. Lo avisam la'alos. You didn't want to go up, and you rebelled. How? Because you went back to your tents, vateiragnu. You slandered God in your tents, and you said the following: "Bisinas Hashem osanu." With God's hatred of us, He took us out of Egypt to give us a land of Emori, who are going to wipe us out. Now, if you have young kids, which I think I'm the only one in the room, maybe who still does, if you have young kids, really young kids, anytime you do something they don't like, so you may hear a refrain from them: "Not that you hate me, you hate me." So what was happening here? This sounded like a nation of little kids, of little brats. And God, b'sinas Hashem osanu, God, you hate us. You took us out of Egypt. You hate us. You just want us to get killed by the Amor. You hate us. You don't want us to be happy. You hate us. It's like, what? What?
No more cucumbers.
No more cucumbers. Exactly. That's what Rashi looks at. Look at Rashi. B'sinas Hashem osanu hutsianu me'eretz Mitzrayim. Hotseiso l'sina haisa. Mashal Melech Basar v'Adam Shailo Shnei Banim V'Yesh Lo Shtei Sados Achash Shal Shakya V'Achash Shal Baal L'Mishu Oiv Nosen Shal Shakya L'Mishu Sonen Nosen Shal Baal Sa'eretz Mitzrayim Shal Shakya Shanilos Olo Mashkosa V'Eretz Kanan Shal Baal V'Otziyanu Mimitzrayim L'Seis Lanu V'Eretz Kanan. So if a father had two sons and he had two fields, and one field was self-irrigated and the other field was dry, it took a lot more work. So to the son who he loved, he gave the self-irrigating field, and the son that he didn't love, he gave the field which is much more dependent, which was dry and arid, which struggled. So that's what the people felt. They said to God, you hate us. Because in Mitzrayim, you have the Nile River. And the Nile River irrigates the whole land of Egypt. Israel is a land that depends on God, depends on the rain. There's nothing that irrigates it naturally. We know that Israel lives and dies by its water and by its water sources. So you have to understand, this is what the people felt. See, we now look back retroactively and we say, we know the role that Israel plays for us. How could anyone ever talk that way? Israel's our beloved homeland. Israel's our precious, precious treasure. What do you mean that you hate us because you gave us Israel instead of Mitzrayim? But for these people, they had never yet been in Israel. Israel was just a desert in the Middle East. It had no sacred status yet. It did because it was promised to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, but it had never was inhabited by the Jewish people as a nation. It had no sacred status. So they were looking at it somewhat more unbiased. And they looked at it and said, one second. Hey Dad, you got two fields. You got Mitzrayim, you got one field, which is self-irrigating, where the food is grown out of the ground like crazy, where you have to work very little to get it, and yet you reap all of this fruit. And then you got this other field, Dad, which is dry and arid, which suffers and struggles, which water is very hard to come by, and that's the blessing, that's the promise you've given us. You've given us that field. You must hate us, because a father who loves his son gives him the better field. And if you claim you love us, what are you giving us? The lousy field. So that was their mentality. With God's hatred of us, He took us out of Egypt. They forgot that they were extracted, they were redeemed from slavery, from subjugation. They forgot, they conveniently forgot, as we all often do. We practice revisionist history, and we only remember what's convenient to remember. So they forget what's inconvenient to remember, that God had indeed redeemed them. All they focus on is, hey, Egypt had a good water source. If you love us, why don't you leave us there and wipe the rest of those people out? Why don't you take us into another land to wipe people out, which was going to be a land which was difficult to plant and to struggle with. But that was their mentality. That's what the Meraglim. Vateragnu bi'ohalechem. By the way, that's also an interesting way of remembering it, that it happened in their tents. Rashi Vateragnu is Lashon Hara. Adam Hamotzi Diba. They went to their tents. Where is the most vicious Lashon Hara? In
behind
the tents. Behind closed doors.
Mm-hmm.
When you go on a systematic campaign to talk to people one by one, mm-hmm. in their homes, you know, you set up meetings, you talk to them, you campaign, you bring them on your side. That's the danger. That's devastating. That's what's wrong. It wasn't just Vateragnu. You didn't get up with a legitimate question or complaint publicly so that it could be resolved. You went from tent to tent to spread this vile Lashon Hara. Pasuk Chaf. Pasuk Chaf Ches. By the way, look at this forno first on Pasuk Chaf Vav, I'm sorry. V'lo avisem la'alos. You refuse to ascend. Shegilisem r'sheichem shelohaya hashlichus k'tei livchor min ha'aretz eizat tzad yoser tov lachem. When you then refused to ascend, what you did was you exposed yourself as a fraud to begin with. That your intention was never to investigate to see which was the best path. Kasher chashavti v'chasher amartem lasos, as I thought and as you said was your goal. Aval haisa kavanatzchem b'shlichus lirosem tuchlu l'chavsha. Your real goal was to see whether you could conquer it. And why were you concerned whether you could conquer it when God already promised you that you will have no problem conquering it? Why is that? Because you lacked faith. So therefore, when the spies came back and revealed that the people are strong, but one second, that was never the question. The question wasn't whether they're strong or not, whether it will be difficult to conquer them or not. What did you say was the question you were going to check out? What's the best way to conquer them? So when they came back and said, the people are strong, that shouldn't have thrown you for a loop. You shouldn't have been lo avisim la alos. You shouldn't have then refused to ascend. You should have said, the people are strong. Okay, good. But God said it's not a problem. So just tell us, what'd you find out? Should we go from the north or the south? Should we go from the east? Where should we go? The fact that you didn't ask that question, and that you accepted that the people are strong and that was enough to forfeit the mission, that reveals that your whole plan to begin with, you were a fraud. That's what the Sforno says. Lo avisim la'alos. Pasuk Chavches. Ona, anachnu olim achenu, heimasturus levavenu leimor, am gadol v'ram imenu arim gadolos v'tziros b'shamayim, v'gam b'nei anakim anachnu. So what happened?
Reinu sham.
I'm sorry. So, Pasuk Chavches. So, to where shall we ascend? Our brothers have softened our hearts, scared us, a people greater and taller than we, cities great and fortified, children of giants have we seen there. They were scared. The people became frightened. Va'omar aleichem, lo sartzun, v'lo sirun mehem. So I said to you, don't be broken and don't be afraid. What's the matter with you? God made us a promise. Why are you buying into this culture of fear? Hashem Elokeichem, ha'olech lefneichem, hu yilachem lachem. God who goes before you, He will fight for you. Have you not learned anything I told you? And again, your question still stands, Yocheved. What do you mean you? You weren't the ones who were there. You were kids. It was your parents who were there. But you, meaning the Jewish people.
Collective.
Don't you know anything? Says Moshe. Don't you remember anything? This God, He just did 10 miracles, 10 plagues in Egypt. He split a sea. He gave you the man from heaven, the water from the well. The clouds of glory protected you. Have you not learned anything that God has no problem taking care of you? That same God, ha'olech lefneichem, the same God who goes before you, hu yilachem lachem. He will fight. What are you worried about? Kechol asher asa itchem mitzrayim la'ineichem. And that's what Moshe gives Lel Shtach, just as he did in Egypt, Le'enechem, that you saw. You didn't read it in a textbook. You didn't have to believe it. You didn't hear it in a class. You saw what God's capable of, and now you deny? Uvamidbar asher ra'isa asher na'asacha Hashem lekecha kasher yisa ishes b'no. And this desert that God has carried us, like a father carries his child, this whole 40-year journey that we've seen miracle after miracle in front of us, and yet, so uvadavar zeh einchem ma'aminim b'Hashem Elokeichem, and yet, when it comes to this issue, you don't believe in God. You did not acknowledge God's capacity to take us out. What is this uvadavar hazeh? Pasuk Lamed Beis summarizes the Chet HaMeraglim. Moshe encapsulates what was their failure. Badavar hazeh, when it came to this thing, einachem ma'aminim b'Hashem, you didn't have emuna in God. What's uva davar? So interestingly, here we go with the davar again. Here we go with the davar again. Moshe said, "V'yashivu osanu davar." Your purpose was to come back with davar. Right. So here's the theme. Eile hadvarim. By the way, that's the earlier Mefarshim point that out. This Moshe, by the way, this same Moshe Rabbeinu, the Loish Devarim Anochi, when God recruits Moshe to be the leader of the Jewish people, and Moshe says no, hesitates, what did Moshe say? Why? Why am I not the man? Loish Devarim Anochi. I'm not good with Devarim. And the same Moshe, this is what the Mefarshim point out, they quote from the Medrash, the same man who said, Loish Devarim Anochi, begins this book, this speech, Eile Hadvarim. These are the dvarim. These are the words of Moshe. Same Moshe who said, I'm not good with words. Eile hadvarim. He had no problem giving this long speech. He found his words. He found his voice. But anyway, so then, and then what was the purpose of the mission? V'yashivu osanu davar. The purpose was to bring us back a davar. Indeed, v'yashivu osanu davar, they brought back a davar. And now Moshe says, uvadavar, when it comes to the vadavar, einchem ma'aminim. There's a lot to work out here. I don't have it worked out. I'm just pointing it out to you. We can collectively struggle with it and work it out. But there's a lot here to work out. But what is this davar? So look at Rashi.
Everyone was healed at Har Sinai. So maybe he got his speech back. All those who couldn't see could see. So maybe his impediment was
okay.
At Har Sinai.
Yeah, could be. Uvadavar, as I look at Pasuk Lamed Beis Rashi, Shehu mavtichachem lahaviachem el haaretz, einchem ma'aminim bo. What is the davar? It's interesting. Moshe's coming to the culmination of his criticism, and then he leaves it so ambiguous and vague. And you know, kid, when it came to that thing, you messed up. What do you mean it came to that thing? If you're trying to give your harsh rebuke, and you're coming to the apex of your comments, say it. Say what you did wrong. Uvadavar, when it came to that thing.
He was so angry.
So what was that thing, badavar?
God's word. It was actually a word.
Oh, so maybe badavar means God's word, when it came to God's word. Rashi says, his haftacha, God promised you he was bringing you into the land, and you didn't believe him. That was the davar. The thing that you failed to believe in was God's promise to bring you in the land. Or Chaim HaKadosh quotes this and rejects it, doesn't like it. Tzorach ladas kavanas omra ubadavar. Rashi perish al tachas bias haaretz umedaber ve'ein an irakein. Ela kipshat hakasav shal nisei midbar hu asher nesam Hashem kase yisha ishes b'no shagam badavar zeh eino ma'aminim. Says the Or Chaim, no. But davar meant the reference to the pasuk immediately before. Moshe just reminded them, how could you not believe in God? You've seen what God did in the desert. He put you on his shoulder, he carried you through the desert. Your clothing never got too small on you. Miraculously it grew. You never got thirsty. We had wells, and when we ran out of wells, God made water come out of a rock. And the cloud protected you, and the sun protected, and the fire protected you, the pillar of fire. And the man fell from heaven. You saw what God did. Ubadavar hazeh. And when it came to all of that that God did in the desert, einchem ma'aminim b'Hashem. You didn't trust God. You know? You complained. You were hungry. You were thirsty. So Rashi says the Badavar that they rebelled in was God's promise about going up to Israel. The Or HaChaim says, no, that's not the Davar. That's not what they rebelled in. What they rebelled in was God's promise that he would carry them on their shoulders. V'zelecha os omro hayesh Hashem bekirbenu im ayin. V'kamashal shehevi bezohar al av shenasa beno aksefa upago ba'adam echad v'yaben sho'al al aviv k'mokein Yisrael im Hashem baruchu. The Zohar gives an example. It's like a father who's carrying his kid on his shoulder because the kid can't walk, he's too young, it's too difficult. And they run into somebody, and the kid turns to this person, he says, tell me, have you seen my dad? Have you seen my dad anywhere? So that's the Jewish people. God carried us on his shoulders, and we said, has anyone seen God? Has anyone seen God? You're sitting on his shoulders. He's performed incredible miracles in the desert. You're sitting on his shoulders, and you say, has anyone seen God? That's the Badavar Hazeh, says the Or HaChaim. That's the thing that you have failed God. Pasuk Lamed Gimel. Ha'olech lefnechem baderech lasur lachem makom lachanoschem ba'ish la'layla la'roschem baderech ha'shatel chubo ove'anan yomam. As we mentioned a moment ago, in all these ways God took care of you in the desert. He protected you with the cloud of glory, with the pillars of fire. Va'yishma Hashem es kol divreichem. Here we go again with the Davar. God heard the voice of your divreichem. Could have just said Vayishma Hashem es kolchem. God heard your voice. What is the voice of your words? That's a peculiar formulation, isn't it? Vayishma Hashem es kol divreichem. Kol with a kuf, meaning the voice, not all. Right. Vayishma Hashem es divreichem, or Vayishma Hashem es kolchem. God heard your voice, or God heard your words. What do you mean, God heard the voice of your words?
The way you
the thought, the intention behind it?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not the words you say, it's the music you play.
Good, so look at the Sforno. The Sforno says they're two separate things. Tevrechem are your words. You know what the kol is? Kol b'chiyah shochinam. God heard you crying for nothing. You're crying for nothing, as we know famously, unfortunately, Monday night, please God, we'll be in Yerushalayim celebrating the Beis HaMikdash. But if not, we cried for no reason. God said, I'll give you a reason to cry. This whole episode happened on Tisha B'Av. And we have had many reasons to cry since. So that's the call, the voice of your cry. But I think it's not a coincidence again. This is the Book of Dvarim. Go check out their Davar. Moshe says Davar. Here you have... we just said Uva Davar Hashem when it came to this thing, and now Kol Divrechem. Clearly, there's a theme building here with the word Davar. That's your homework. Go figure it out. But clearly, there's a theme building here with the word Davar. Now, here's what I really wanted to get to today. What time is it? 7:30. Story of my life. With that, no time left. So we'll just do it very quickly. God promised, no one from this generation is getting in. You denied my ability to bring you in? You doubted me? No problem, you're not going in. However, one exception, Zulasi, Kalev ben Yefuna, hu yirena, Kalev will see it. Velo atenes aret asher darach bo'u levanav, to him I will give the land, and to his children, Yan Hashem milei acharei Hashem, since he followed me, since he followed God. Now, it's only two psukim later that we mention Yoshua also. One of the questions, if you're sensitive to the text, one of the questions to ask is, why didn't God Moshe say, none of you are going in? With two exceptions, Kalev and Yoshua. He said, no one's going in with one exception, Kalev. Then he interrupts it by saying, and God was also angry at me. And also, oh, by the way, Yoshua also is going in. Why did he do it that way? Good.
Role afterwards in Yeshua.
Good, so Kalev is going in as an exception. He's going in as a spectator, but he makes the cut. Yeshua is going in as the leader. Maybe, but it still could have formulated in a different way. But here, Lamed Zion is what I want to spend a moment on. Moshe says, Gam bi hisanaf Hashem biglalchem lemor, gam atalo savosham. You know what? God also got angry at me because of you, and he said, I can't go to Israel. Now, whoa! Why was Moshe not allowed to go into the land? Now, again, there's a lot of literature on that question. I have my own novel interpretation about that. But But nowhere do we see that the reason is because of the Chet HaMeraglim. What did the Chet HaMeraglim have to do with Moshe? What did the sin of the spies have to do with Moshe not going into the land of Israel?
He said that's why he wanted his sin always to be published, so they shouldn't include it with the Chet HaMeraglim.
That's why he said, wipe my name out of the book.
Yeah,
but now he turns to them and he says, and by the way, while I'm busy berating you for what happened, let me tell you, I'm pretty angry also. That's why I didn't get in because of you. I'm not making the cut because of you. God was hisanaf, he got angry with me, big lalchem, because of you. Excuse me, because of you? That's not the way we remember it.
But indirectly it was.
Look at the Ramban. Look at the Ramban. Says the Ramban, Nachmanides, I'll share three interpretations, and with this we close today. Yomar hinecha toseichem asher asisem ba'isahi b'meraglim mano mikem ha'aretz hatova. Says the Ramban, Moshe did not mean to suggest that he didn't get in because of their failure with the spies. What Moshe meant to say was, you complained when it came to the spies, and that's why you couldn't go in. And you complained about the water, and that caused me a problem, I didn't get in either. So once I'm busy reminding you about what a miserable bunch of negative, toxic, rotten, brat, rebellious complainers you are, it reminds me that your miserable, rotten complaining also put me in a position that I'm not getting into the land either. Moshe says, I'm lumping together all those who can't get into the land. Your previous generation and me. Because you know what the bottom line of all of us is? Why we can't get in? Because of you. So he mentions it in this interrupted way to say, Kalev's the only exception, he's not getting in. He's the only one who's getting in, I'm sorry. He's the exception, he's getting in. Oh, by the way, this reminds me, I can't get in because you miserable brats. But you know what? I can't get in. My successor, Yehoshua, is getting in. So that answers why it's broken up in this way, because Moshe says there's an exception, Kalev is getting in. Oh, by the way, while I'm remembering who can't get in, I can't get in because of you. But you should know, my successor, Yehoshua, is getting in. So that's the Ramban's answer. When they blame, Moshe blames the people, Gambi, I too can't get in because of you. He didn't mean to suggest because of the sin of the spies. He just meant, while I'm remembering the people who can't get in, I am part of that category. Says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, V'kasha, V'alo lo matzinu shi'es anaf Hashem HaMoshe ba'avon HaMeraglim. We don't find anywhere that God got angry at Moshe because of the sin of the spies. V'Ramban perish v'amar o'da saftin l'hara pa'am acheres ha'shigaramten l'sanaf bi'ad kan. He doesn't like the Ramban, says Dor Chaim, because what do you mean Moshe says, oh, by the way, while I'm talking about people who didn't get in, let me tell you, God got angry at me because of you. He says, that's not what's going on here. Moshe is busy talking about the whole story of the spies. Why would Moshe stop talking about the spies to talk about the hitting of the rock episode? He's still within the story of the spies. And if you look what goes on here, it then goes back to the whole episode of the spies. So we're in the middle of talking about the story of the spies. So what's really going on? Next paragraph. When they cried for no reason that night, that God established a reason to cry. That was the 9th of Av, and that is when the first temple, second temple were destroyed, the Inquisition, the expulsion, countless... If Moshe had indeed merited to enter the land, as was supposed to happen, if Moshe would have entered the land and immediately built a Beis HaMikdash, it would have been so strong that it could never have been destroyed. So See, if Moshe had indeed merited to enter the land and build the Beis HaMikdash, when God got angry later, He never could have taken out His anger on the Beis HaMikdash, because it would have been built from such a position of strength that it never could have been destroyed. So God, this is what Moshe was saying. Because you, Meraglim, on the 9th of Av, cried for no reason. And God said, you know what? You cry for no reason? I'll give you a reason to cry. But then God said to Himself, one second. I won't be able to destroy a Beis HaMikdash in the future if Moshe gets in and builds it. Therefore, Moshe can never, ever get into Israel. So that's what Moshe indeed was blaming the Jewish people. I couldn't get into Israel, because if I were to have led the Jewish people to the building of the Beis HaMikdash, it would have essentially been a time of Mashiach. It never could have been destroyed. But God already knew that because you cried for no reason, He would give a reason to cry. And therefore, to make that destiny a reality, He had to prevent me from entering the land. Wow. So therefore, that's why I'm angry at you. I couldn't get in. It's a whole new interpretation from the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. The Kli Yakar, Rav Lunshitz, also comes along, and he gives his own interpretation, which I'll let you look up at your own. I have my own novel interpretation, which I'll save for another time. But you see, if nothing else, again, if you're sensitive to the text, all kinds of questions arise. First of all, again, your homework is to figure out this word, Davar, Divrechem, El Hadvarim, what's going on here? There's obviously something going on here. But if you're sensitive to the text, you could appreciate the contrast between the way Moshe recalls this event and the way it's depicted in Parsha Shlach, which leave questions on both. Why in Shlach did God choose to leave out some very pertinent facts? And why here in Dvarim does Moshe leave out some pertinent facts? The Ramban alluded to it. Moshe doesn't get into blaming the princes, the tribe, the leaders. Moshe keeps it collectively rebuking the people. Moshe also leaves out, omits some of the details. So there's a lot of work to be done here, but you see it's fascinating to contrast the way it appears the first time and the way Moshe recalls it later. Have a great show.